Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, in talking about today's program, our personalities kind of came out. Because what did you title this week's program?
The Cooking Primer.
And what did I title this week's program?
Things that people are scared to...
People struggle to cook.
Yeah, people struggle to cook. I'm like, let's be more positive than that.
So...
Well, I think we wanted to talk about really cooking food and trying to help people become more comfortable with it.
Yeah, well, I think that people that's how many times have you been, and neither one of us is soliciting for invitations, okay, but how many times have you been asked to dine in someone's home?
I've lived here 20 years now, and I can count it on one hand.
Right. It's same here, and thank God I have a neighbor who is a fantastic amateur Japanese chef.
Yes.
Because without that person, it would be very, very short. List mm-hmm. And it's totally different stuff than than I do, and it's super fun.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah. You know, he's a guy who does exactly what you hope someone would do, which is just like pay attention to the product he brings in, and try to learn something about technique every time he cooks, mm-hmm. And he just goes for it.
That's great.
You know, and that's
cooking should be fun.
So not that I'm entirely negative about the way people cook in their homes, but I think they do struggle to cook certain things. They struggle to do certain basic. Things that are not that hard if you try and you pay attention.
Well, and the great thing is you can see a lot of videos on the internet now. So while we are on
that's
the radio,
so different.
Yeah, and it's just so nice to have that education at your fingertips. Basically, you know, I want to talk about how you chop an onion, and you know, you can go on the internet and see a video of how to properly chop an onion, and that's the beginning.
Can we
skills.
Link and we can link to the Foreman & Wolf. Page at WYPR on the YPR webpage, we can link a video that shows people this is how you cut an onion.
Right. And just one of the things about chopping an onion, you know, you go horizontally, you go and you have to have a sharp knife. All about being a good cook is having good tools. And you don't have to have 50 knives. You can have a couple of select knives, but they need to be sharp. And you always need to be mindful of the fact that when you go in horizontally to chop that onion, you're going towards your hand. So your hand should be on top of the onion, holding it down. Obviously, you're cutting the onion in half, you're peeling it, laying it down on its flat surface, which is one of the main things about chopping a lot of things. We often, if you're doing, let's say, a brunoise, which is the smallest of dice of a carrot, you're going to trim trim four sides of that carrot, so you have four flat surfaces. And
people cut their fingers off trying to cut carrots because they don't make them flat.
Right, and they're so hard. I mean, it's round. Okay, let's take the roundness away and make it solid, and you're now cutting on a flat, safe surface. And so getting back to the onion, you're cutting in probably two or three times horizontally, depending on how big the onion is, half. And then you're cutting across the onion, and the closer, obviously, the more cuts you make, the closer they are, the smaller the dice. Then you then go from root to stem to make your dice. And
you're turning the onion into a grid.
Exactly. Exactly.
A three-dimensional grid.
And, you know, there's no excuse not to do it that way, really. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you want to be a good cook, you have to work on your knife skills. And
knives are...
And that's the chef in me talking, but, you know, that's... Why not do things well? So, you know, you go from chopping onions to doing things like making a stock, which, you know, we've talked about, and that can be a lengthy conversation, but always having a great stock in your house is essential to making a good sauce.
And well, you can make one big batch of stock, fill a few ice cube trays, mm-hmm. and you have little bits of stock you can use a million different times.
Exactly. And it's such a great, I mean, that's just, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's a great solution to, do I really want to make stock today or yesterday when I am cooking for a party tomorrow? No, I want to have that made. Or even cooking for your family for dinner that night, you could pull out that ice cube and of stock and let it thaw out and have a nice sauce for dinner that night. And a lot of making sauce at home is just simply deglazing a pan, which is, let's say you were cooking a pork chop and you had a little bit of wine left over from the day before that wasn't too expensive that you didn't mind putting in the pan. So the action of deglazing does a couple of things. It creates color and flavor in your sauce.
So you're talking about you take the pork chop out of the pan.
After
you
browned
it. You get rid
of
any extraneous, you know.
Fat.
Bits of fat.
Right.
Right. But there's still plenty of juice and there's plenty of... like caramelized sticky bits of pork left in the pan.
Which is the good stuff.
Yeah.
It's called
so you take that wine and you splash a couple of ounces in there.
Mm-hmm. And that
scrape around and get all that stuff.
Right, and that's the action of deglazing the pan. You can deglaze a pan with any liquid. In this case, we're talking about adding wine because it's going to have good flavor. And now you can add that little bit of stock that you had in your freezer and reduce it down really quickly. You could choose to finish it with cold butter, which will help to thicken it, or you just reduce it down naturally and don't add the butter.
So let's say, step by step, that you splashed the wine around in the pan and it started to reduce, and then you added a little bit of stock, say 2 ice cubes worth of, mm-hmm. of stock that you thawed out in the fridge for an hour, mm-hmm. That were just in liquid form, and toss that in there as well. You reduced it all down to maybe, an ounce or two. How do you get that liquid it'll have the flavor because the wine picked up the flavor, but how do you get it not to have all the little sticky bits of like black stuff from the pan?
A small hand strainer. Just simply strain it and onto the plate. So you want to get your sauce to the consistency you want it to be before you are taking it off the heat. And then just a small hand strainer. That way you won't have the ugliness from the pan on your plate.
And if you want to make it richer, you could just put a little bit of cold butter in that as it was finishing.
And you do shake, and it does
whisk
need to
it
be
real well.
The key point there is cold butter. It's just a little cube of butter. Could be 2 tablespoons for 2 people. And shake the pan, and you're basically emulsifying it into your reduction sauce. It adds obviously fat, adds flavor, and it adds a richness, and it will help to thicken the sauce a little bit. And just go right into that hand strainer, pour it over your dish, or pour it into a gravy boat if you want, and you want to let people do it themselves with a ladle, that's fine. But why not just pour it right over? And the other thing is if you had fresh rosemary in a house, you could add maybe a little bit of fresh rosemary or thyme to that pan. You could actually add cream to that pan. So you could take that reduction sauce from being red wine and chicken stock reduced down to making it a little bit lighter in flavor. Maybe you're working with veal. Maybe it's not pork. Maybe it's veal. You want a lighter sauce. Maybe you've deglazed that pan with white wine. Added your stock, reduced it down, and finished with a little bit of cream. That's a very pretty sauce. It's very simple to make.
Now, when you want to reduce it, you have to reduce the stock business to a pretty tight place, right, to mm-hmm. actually get intensity of flavor.
Right.
And then when you add the cream, you've got to reduce that pretty far to get the nice opulent texture you hope for with the cream.
Right. We call it nappe. And nappe means to coat. And if you were to, let's just say you had a metal spoon in your kitchen and you dipped it in this pan, and the back of the spoon, you take your finger and just pull it across the back of the spoon, go horizontally across the back of the spoon. How quickly does that sauce run down the spoon from where you parted the waters, basically? And that tells you the consistency of your sauce. That's a good way to learn. That's what they teach you in school to nappe. Let's see, how does it coat the back of the spoon? So that's a good place to start.
So let's run through a little list of some of the things that as you would say, give people a little cooking primer on topic, or things they struggle. The first thing that I thought of when we talked about this program was the things that people say that they eat out because they won't cook them at home,
mm-hmm.
because they don't trust themselves to do it.
Right.
And it's not that we don't want them to eat out, because we certainly do.
Of course we do.
But the first thing for me always comes to mind is fish.
Mm.
Clients, I always eat fish when I'm out because I don't cook it at home.
And that's understandable, but you can cook it at home. So.
Well, there are 2 reasons why it's tough to do it at home. One is that it's hard to get really, really good seafood sometimes. In markets, you have to be good at choosing it, and you have to really trust who you're getting it from.
Right.
And then the second is just technical one of actually cooking the fish. So what's a fish you think people should be cooking at home?
Oh, I would try to find rockfish because it's a local fish. So hopefully, you can get rockfish or trout. I would certainly cook trout at home. Salmon, if you can find a beautiful piece of tuna. I don't buy fish very often. If I'm going to cook a piece of fish, I'm bringing it home from the restaurant. So I don't know what's out there, what's available, but I mean, surely we have good.
A lot of the world, I think, cooks salmon or attempts to cook salmon. And I think a lot of the world would like to cook trout or attempt to cook trout. And 2 gigantically different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with the trout, let's talk about what you have to do to actually cook a trout nicely.
When you can leave the head on if you want to. We use.
I'm going to guess that most people are not.
So if with a trout, they will have fine pin bones, and if you are concerned about that, you can use a pair of tweezers, or if you have hemostats, maybe you know a doctor.
Doctor, clean my trout.
That's what I use. You can pull the pin bones out. If you're not worried about it, they're pretty fine and they kind of disintegrate. You could leave them in. There do tend to be in a whole fillet of trout, if it's the whole fish that's been butterflied, there do tend to be some bones that go down through the spine of the fish. So you want to pull those out. Otherwise, well, okay, I'm sorry. I'm leaving the head on and the tail on. Mm-hmm. If you're not, cut it off. Please leave the tail on at least. But you may cut the head off and then lightly salt it. I use kosher salt. That's the only kind. I don't use iodized salt.
And you're talking about not salting the skin. You're talking about salting the flesh.
Salting the flesh of the, yes. And then lightly dust it with flour. So all-purpose flour. Just have it in you could have it in a pie pan or something that you feel comfortable putting the flour in, and just lightly put the fish in there and then just kind of shake it. Another step you could do is you could marinate your trout in buttermilk. That's very southern, and it's a great way to bread. So it kind of depends on the end.
And so let's just say you give it salt, you dusted it in flour, and then what kind of a pan? What have you done to the pan?
A steel pan, a solid steel pan, high heat. And I'm going to use corn oil or canola oil, some sort of very neutral oil. I use corn oil.
So you get the pan hot first,
mm-hmm.
and then the oil goes in, and you get the oil hot.
Right.
And you coat the pan nicely with the oil.
Right.
And then?
And then you put the fish in flesh side down, and you brown that. And then you turn it over and cook it on the skin side. And you may want to hold that down with a spatula. Do not crush the fish. Do not smash the fish.
You're talking 30, 40 seconds a side,
right? It's very quick. That's a beautiful thing about trout. You can get this done very quickly. And you don't even have to go into the oven. You can just finish it on the stove top. So what your goal is to get a golden color on the flesh side and to crisp up the skin.
Okay, there's your trout.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon, other fish, and more goodies for cooking on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine.